morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Monday, May 4th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, has concluded that the proposed Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas project and pipeline would have limited adverse environmental impacts.
The Columbia River tribes say Oregon and Washington have allowed too much non-tribal fishing of spring Chinook.
And in Tacoma, Washington, 11 members of the Port Militarization Resistance were arrested on Saturday.
Portland area weather, mostly cloudy with a chance of rain this afternoon, and it's going to be windy on the coast in the gorge, highs in the mid-50s. Tonight and tomorrow, rain turning to showers, back to rain, etc., etc., highs in the 60s, and the nights in the 40s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. The Federal Energy Regulatory Commission has concluded that the proposed Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas project and its associated Pacific Connector pipeline project would have limited adverse environmental impacts if constructed. This pipeline, of course, the Pacific Connector, funnels liquefied natural gas to California, a state which has completely rejected this technology, as has Mexico. Joining us this morning from Coos Bay, Jody McCaffrey is a longtime grassroots organizer and an executive director of Citizens Against LNG. Good morning, Jody. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, talk a little bit about what this decision means.
Well, this is the final environmental impact statement. We will have a window here, probably around 30 days, to respond to this. The FERC Commission will actually issue their order probably in a couple months, whether they approve this proposal or not. And that's, if you base it on what their staff has presented here as a final environmental impact statement, it's pretty much a pre-cooked justification for this project. Even though there's, we raised tons of issues, a lot of them were just not, really thoroughly analyzed. They just basically rubber stamped the proposal in this. From what I can see, this is a huge document. I'm still going through it, but it pretty much is saying that this is fine. You can go ahead and, you know, affect 3,000 acres of forest, 600 acres of agriculture land. We'll just mitigate it, and everything will be fine.
And when you use the term pre-cooked, it sounds like the fix is already in and that there is some perhaps interesting conversations that have taken place between so-called public agencies such as the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and private industry. Talk about that if you could.
Well, they are working with this company to get their project approved. And, of course, public comment is allowed. That's part of the process, but it really is not being thoroughly considered. We raised some definite issues. Some scientists raised some definite issues with problems with this siting, and they basically just overrode them as being not important.
Go ahead. I just briefly in wrapping up here. What legal recourse do we have now, going forward?
Well, I'm still new at this process. This is the first time I've ever went through a federal process. But we will respond to this final environmental impact statement and whatever the order is, similar to like Bradwood Landing. They, I think, put their stamp of approval on that, and then there was several different groups that appealed that decision, and then it goes through a legal process. And we feel, too, just like Bradwood Landing feels, in the courts, we will win. I mean, but it's just they're counting on rural America, not having the funds to have a legal representation, and they're the gas and oil industry, and they have millions of dollars to sink into a legal fight. So It's very disappointing that our federal agency is not supporting the people. They're supporting the industry over the people.
We'll have more on this whole the story that's unfolding down around Coos Bay. And Portland listeners, this has as great an impact on you, even though it is down the coast, as Broadwood Landing does, and deserves all of our attention. So thank you so very much. That, of course, was Jody McCaffrey with Citizens Against LNG in Coos Bay. Thanks for that, Jody.
Thank you.
2 years ago, 27 acres in southeast Portland were platted for 65 homes, the Waterleaf subdivision. The patch of cedars at Clatsop Butte Park might be southeast Aston Street by now, had not the housing market collapsed, and the developer decided to sell his still unbuilt parcel to the Trust for Public Land. They conveyed it to the city for a park.
Don't you love the way they name these things? Waterleaf, was it? Right. No leaves, no water, just subdivision. Well, in a triumph for the Gifford Pinchot Task Force and other conservationists, the removal of a dam blocking fish passage in a popular creek east of Portland will begin this summer. The Hemlock Dam on Trout Creek is a tributary of Washington's Wind River. It's been the subject of a lawsuit between Skamania County conservation groups and the federal government. But this spring, the county agreed to withdraw its opposition to removing the 76-year-old dam.
Representatives of Columbia River tribes say Oregon and Washington have allowed too much non-tribal fishing of spring Chinook on the upper Columbia. This at the probable expense of tribes depending on what may be an unexpectedly low run. The Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission represents the Nez Perce, Umatilla, Warm Springs, and Yakima tribes.
And some members of those nations are in Omaha attending the Berkshire Hathaway shareholders meeting. Warren Buffett said that at the meeting that the U.S. government is generally taking the right actions to help the economy recover. Said that the state of the economy was one of the first things addressed. Roughly 34,000 people packed the arena in overflow rooms to listen to Warren Buffett and the Berkshire Vice Chairman Charlie Munger answer questions. And, of course, among those questions were concerns from the tribal fishermen in the Klamath River region wanting to know how long it was going to take Berkshire Hathaway's subsidiary PacifiCorp to get rid of their dams.
The Interior Department is directing more than $300 million in federal economic stimulus money to the BLM to update its facilities, roads, and trails and jumpstart renewable energy projects. Well, yay for Secretary Ken Salazar. The thing is, $300 million is nothing compared to what the Wall Street whiz kids took home when the bubble burst.
The Obama administration is reviewing a Bush administration plan for balancing the needs of people and salmon in the Columbia River Basin. The plan has been criticized by a federal judge as doing too little, too late to help salmon.
Governor Kulongoski said goodbye to Oregon Army National Guard troops on Saturday with a bottle of hand sanitizer instead of a handshake. Never mind that these men and women are off to fight a meaningless, illegal war. We top it off with an antibacterial to protect them from a virus. The gov said, quote, more American soldiers died of influenza in World War I than combat, but infection is avoidable. Right, Ted? So was the war.
Researchers at Oregon State University have finally figured out what many of us have known all along. Don't till the soil. It ruins soil structure. Right now, researchers are concerned that tilling destroys the larvae of beetles that are beneficial and kill other harmful creatures.
Boise Cascade announced Friday that it would close a sawmill in LeGrand, laying off 120 employees. Why? No market for wood products. The response? More stimulus money blown on the obsolete logging industry. The closure this summer is expected to be indefinite and potentially permanent. With any luck, some company from a foreign country, where they still teach kids to think outside the box, will come along with a good idea and save us from our own ignorance.
Now moving on to national news. And, in fact, international, I guess this might be considered. According to a survey report released on Friday by Freedom House, a human rights advocacy group of journalists from around the world, journalists should have little reason to think that freedom of the press is safe at this point in time. Freedom House's annual Freedom of the Press report analyzed the state of the news media in 195 countries. Advocates found that freedom of the press declined in every region of the world for the first time since this report has been published.
President Obama is reported to be weighing advice from the left and the right on his first Supreme Court choice. He's likely to seek a judicial version of himself, a moderate coalition builder. Obama will choose from a list of candidates who would add ethnic or gender diversity. The most discussed possibilities, Federal Appeals Court Judges Diane Wood and Sonia Sotomayor and U.S. Solicitor General Elena Kagan, are well-credentialed lawyers whose records suggest they would become moderate to liberal justices.
Ladies and gentlemen, place your bets. Now we go to D.C. KBOO's reporter Spencer Raymond. Well, Spencer, Glenn Beck, Jeb Bush, and the Tea Parties. How does it all fit together?
Yeah, good morning, Chris. Yeah, it's an interesting question. I was actually listening to a bit of Glenn Beck and Jeb Bush over the weekend, and it was interesting to me to hear the conservative talking point really come out. And the question that I want to discuss with you today, and hopefully listeners can ponder this as well, is how do the conservative talking points play into a grander scheme for the Republican Party? Last week, you know, the party took a hit with the loss of Arlen Specter. You know, he said the party was going too far to the right for him and for his constituents. The conservatives, meanwhile, have these talking points going. They don't like the spending. They say that the national debt will increase by about $1 trillion a year on the current rate, and they don't want to see Obama and the Obama administration spend their way out of this recession. So what these conservatives are doing, namely Glenn Beck on his various radio and TV programs, Jeb Bush, got Mitt Romney in there too. There's kind of this low-level movement of conservatives that are talking amongst themselves. And what I'm interested in seeing is how does that jump up into the Republican Party? How do these sentiments turn from just complaints and turn into policy and coalition building in the House on the Republican side, House and Senate on the Republican side of the aisle?
Thank you so much for that, Spencer. Alas, that's all we have time for today. We are in the middle of membership drive, and so we, of course, Liam and I want to invite everybody who is not a member to please take up this opportunity to become one.